James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let's start in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's a good admonition. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. That's a good admonition. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Great question. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Got to be careful about boasting about tomorrow. Tomorrow may not show up on your screen. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's a good practice. Instead of saying, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, Lord willing, I'm going to do that. The Lord might not be willing. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us power and liberty, wisdom to preach. I pray, help us to be faithful and true to Thy Word. Help us not go outside the bounds of Scripture. But Lord, I pray that we might use it to be instructed thereby, admonished, rebuked, exhorted. Lord, whatever is necessary to help us be pleasing in Thy sight and fruitful in our walk, we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, Vapor to Vanished. Vapor to Vanished. That's a great noise we got going on there, isn't it? I'm going to turn that off. That didn't get rid of all of it, did it? Man. Okay. I don't know where that came from, but it's gone. Vapor to vanish. That verse said, what is your life? That's a great question. And we'll talk about that for a few minutes this morning. It's even as a vapor that appeareth for a little season and vanisheth away. Now, most of my messages, you folks that come here all the time know that I run somewhere between 7 and 10 points. And we almost never get them all in. And so I figured out a way to fix that. I only got one point this morning. But it's kind of long. But I was thinking the other day, Lord, I always have 7 points, 10 points, something like that. And then I get down to the end and I have to blast across the last two or three because we're over time already. I said, I can do this. I'm 1 point. It's a Jack Hiles kind of a thing. So we just got 1 point this morning. We're just going to beat it to death. That way I can quit anytime I feel like it and I've made my point. Pretty smart, don't you think? I mean, that's not bad. I'm 64, going on 65. And my wife is a little younger than me. We've been married 46, going on 47 years. And here lately, it seems like we've been spending a lot of time at the doctor's office. Now, you know, I went for years and years, and I never went to the doctor for nothing. I just don't like doctors. I don't trust them. I don't like them. I'm polite to them, you know, like you would be a servant or something, but I don't have a lot of use for them. I had to go a couple weeks ago and have a cancer cut off the side of my face, and I went in there, and the lady said, okay, take all your clothes off except your underwear. I said, why? Well, that's how we do it. I said, well, that's not how we're going to do it. She said, okay, well, put this robe. I said, okay, I'll put the robe on. I couldn't see any reason for me taking my clothes off. Then she said, the anesthesiologist will be in just a minute. I said, what do I need an anesthesiologist for? Well, because you're going to have surgery. I said, tell the guy to give me a shot. You know, give me a local anesthetic. I'll sit up and he can do it. And then she went outside and was conferring with somebody, and I heard her say, we got a bad one in here. I wasn't being bad. I wasn't being ugly. I was being nice like me. I just couldn't see any reason for all that. So finally they got around to doing my surgery my way. And that little old lady said, well, you know, around here, the doctor and anesthesiologist are the boss. I said, no, I'm the boss. My face, my wallet. They went out and told my wife when she could come back. She said, is he always like that? Well, you know, I'm at the doctor's office. And a couple of weeks before that, I had to go down. I had to get laser surgery on this eye. And then I got laser surgery on that eye because I've got glaucoma real bad. And we've kept it under control for years, but here lately it's been getting out of bounds. And so they come in and they fix it. Oh, man, that's three times I've been to the doctor in the last 6-8 weeks. I mean, I'm falling apart. And then my wife's got to go, and then I got to take her again Tuesday for some more stuff. I said, goodness, falling apart. Years ago, I mean, you could go for years without having to go to a doctor. Amen? Anymore, it seems like every time I turn around, one or the other or both of us is down at the doctor's office. Now, here's the problem. We get old. It just finally sunk in. I'm getting old. Things are wearing out. Now, this magnificent mind is in no danger. It works like it always did. It is supercomputer. It has got incredible memory and a hard drive you can't believe. But I'm telling you what, the house this thing is housed in has seen better days. So what's happening? I'm getting old. I'm running out of time. I'm running out of steam. And stuff has started breaking. Well, the other day I'm driving down the road in my vehicle and having a good old time. And I looked over there and where the cooling towers are for Duke Power, there's always that steam, you know, condensate coming up out of those towers. And I'm driving along there, and I probably should have been watching the road, but I was watching them things. And it boils up, and little puffs of it will go off by itself. And it looks like a little mini cloud or something. And that would be some way to package them. We could sell them. But these little puffs of steam or what condensate kind of drift off by themselves, and you can watch them individually. You don't notice it so much when you watch the whole thing, but when you watch those little wisps that come off, you can see them kind of go by themselves, and they just literally dissolve. They vanish right before you're standing there watching it, and it just disappears. It's a vapor, appears for a little season, and vanishes away like it was never there. I got to think about that. And at my age, it's kind of scary, you know. It's depressing. I've never been. I don't know what depression is. I think that's something they make up to make money is what I think. But anyway, I got to thinking about it. And so I'm going to bring you this message. Vapor to vanished. Have you ever heard anybody say this? If you say, how's your life been? Or what's your life been like? You ever have anybody say, oh, preacher, my life has been a fairy tale. It's just been wonderful. Everything about my life is just A1 okay. Okie dokie. Couldn't have been better. Been just, boy, it's been the bomb. You ever have anybody say that? You talk to them about their life? Or somebody say, preacher, I'll tell you right now, boy, I look at my life, it's just been a dream come true. Everything about it's just been wonderful. Everything's been lovely. Have you ever run across a bunch of folks like that? I mean, you'd think you'd run across them day after day, right? Boy, people just excited about life and how good it's been and how wonderful it is. And I mean, everything's just been fine. And they don't have any complaints. They don't have any gripes. They don't have any... I mean, life's just been a dream come true. Or maybe you talk to somebody and they'll say, well, I'll tell you right now, preacher, my life's been everything I ever expected it to be. No disappointment, no disillusionment, no failures. Everything I set out to be when I was a teenager, I've accomplished. Everything's come true. Everything's just wonderful. I married the right girl. We had the perfect family. I got the right education. I've had the perfect job. Health has been great. I mean, you run across folks like that, don't you? Or is the folks like that you meet more like this? You get talking to them about their life, and they'll say, I'll just tell you the honest truth. My life's been a disaster. It's just been the pits, man. No, I haven't accomplished one thing that I thought I was going to accomplish when I was young. You know, when I was 17, 18, 19, 20, along in there, I had all these great plans and all these great expectations, and I was going to do this and I was going to do that. I whiled away my time, and I didn't get this done, I didn't get that done, and before I knew it, it was too late, and then I had to settle for this, and I had to settle for that, and the truth is, my life's a disaster, everything in it has gone wrong, I've accomplished nothing with all the time I've had. Or maybe they'll say, I'll tell you something, preacher, my life has just been pure chaos. I don't know from one day to the next where I'm going or what I'm doing. There is no rhyme, no reason. There is no plan. There is no path. There's no objective. It's just chaos. Just whatever the day brings, I have to live with it and bear with it because I don't have any plan. I don't have any structure. My life is just chaos. You talk to them and say, what are you doing with your life? I don't know. What's your goal? I don't know. I don't have any. Or maybe you talk to somebody, not only is their life a disaster or chaos. You talk to some people and they say, preacher, I'm going to tell you right now. Just between me and you, my life's been a nightmare. It's been one calamity, one tragedy after another. It's been one sickness after another. It's been one financial setback after another. My wife's health is bad. The kids are in trouble. I lost my job. We spent our savings. Our 401k got wiped out. It's just, it's chaos. It's tragedy. It's a mess. Haven't accomplished anything. Don't have anything. I've lived 45, 50, 60 years. And here's what I've got to show for it. Heartache and heartbreak and disappointment and disillusionment and no worldly possessions and the family's all busted up and the money's gone and life is the pits. Now you hear a lot more of those stories than you do them first stories. Amen. Boy, you get talking to people and say, what is your life? Oh, my life's a fairy tale. My life's a dream come true. Or, my life is a disaster. My life is chaos. Now, there may be a few in between, but the point here is that when you talk to people about what that verse said, what is your life? See, and so to treat it fairly, we need to figure out what is our life. And the honest truth is, when you talk to most people, their life is not what they thought it was going to be when they started out. The percentage of people that actually accomplish or do what they thought they were going to do in their youth are minuscule. You talk to most people, and they've had to change their plans, readjust their goals, reset their sights, reevaluate their life, because circumstance and decisions and this, that, and the other has hindered and hurt. And the truth is, their life just didn't go like they thought it was going to go. They get down to the end of it, and they look back on it, and they say, boy, if I'd have known then what I know now. If I had it all to do over again. If I could change this, I wouldn't do it that way again. You ever heard folks talk like that? Perhaps you've talked that way. Now, of course, when you're young, you know, you take somebody Jordan's age or Nick's age, they don't know anything. They're just dumber than dirt. They just think they know everything. They're good kids. They've got good hearts. And I wish them well. But if they knew one-tenth of what they think they'd know, it'd be a different kind of planet. They ain't lived long enough to know anything yet. They haven't experienced enough to know anything yet. That's why we don't let them make any decisions for themselves. We do it for them. Amen? You tell them kids, if I want you to have an opinion, I'll give it to you. Now, you take John, for instance. He's supposed to bring me a glass of water every Sunday morning, and he didn't. And so I'm sitting up here dying without it. But he's going to jump and run because he's a man of character. Well, life has a way of getting away from you. And it has a way of not turning out like we predicted. You won't meet one person in a thousand where things went like they thought it was going to go when they were young. And yet, it happened so quick. Do you ever notice how life seems to get away from you? I was talking to my grandson a couple of months ago because he's wasting his time. He's flitting his time away. And I was trying to be gracious and grandpa-ish and all that, you know, without being preachy. And for me, that's a tough thing. When our kids were growing up, they'd come and ask me a question, and they'd say, now, Pop, just yes or no, don't preach. Well, if you want my yes or no, you've got to take my sermon too.
Amen.
I don't give yes or no's without instruction. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. So I was talking to him. Because he's whiling away his days. He's got great ambitions. He's going to do certain things. He's going to get things accomplished. But he's been out of school a couple of years and he hadn't got any of it done. I said, you know what you're going to do? I said, you're going to one day at a time while away your life. And pretty soon you'll be old and you'll fall in love and get married and have kids. And then you can't do all these things. And you'll have to take a job. And you'll be an hourly wage employee till the day you drop dead. And you're going to look back at your life and say, I had all this smarts. I had all these brains. I had all these talents. I had this incredible ability. And I wasted it. When I had the opportunity, when the door was open, I played. And he said, you're going to look back at your life with sorrow and regret because it got away from you. And it happened so quick and so easily, you never even knew it because it happened to you one lousy day at a time. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little season and vanish away. I got thinking about life and its stages and its opportunities, you know, from infant to old man. We tend to divide life up into phases. It's like when a baby's born, you know, it's a newborn. And then it's a babe. And then it enters the terrible twos. And from that point on, it's a young child. And then it's an adolescent. Then it's a teenager. And then there's hell to pay. Then they're young adults. Then they're adults. And then we're middle-aged. Then we're retirement age. And then we're old age. I got thinking about that, you know. I've got us going from the cradle to the grave. From adorable to deplorable. From youthful to useless. From brave to broken. From Alice to see Alice. And from vapor to vanished. Somebody say it ain't so. That's the history of our life. You say, well, what about all that time in between? Just like that, son. Just like that. Just like that. I'm standing here this morning, 64, going on 65. And I look back at my life and 46 years of marriage and 3 kids and 6 grandkids and 30 years in the ministry. And where did it go? Just yesterday, I was a young man. Just yesterday, I got saved and God called me to preach it and I was going to get the world saved. I was going to study that King James Bible, and I was going to know that thing inside out, and boy, I was going to be able to answer anybody's objections, science, education, philosophy, critical examination of the Bible, the Hebrew and the Greek manuscripts and all. Man, I was going to, you know, whatever you ask, I was going to be able to give you a Bible answer for it. And I was going to get everybody saved, and everybody was going to get converted, and everybody was going to be a King James only kind of a guy. Well, I got 50 of them, thereabouts, more or less, sometimes, if they come. So what happened? Beat the fire out of me. It just got away from so quick. I mean, before you know it, you're not looking forward anymore. You're looking back. You couldn't tell me that when I was 35 or 40. You couldn't do it. Because I was still looking forward. And before I know it, I'm looking back. Most of my life is behind me. Now, I don't have any inclination that I'm dying soon. Don't get upset. As far as I know, I'm going to live to be 82. My wife and I, a few years ago, we prayed. We decided, Lord, we wanted the Lord to give us another 20 years, which at that time would have made us 82. And so I'm trusting the Lord to let me live till I'm 82. Amen. Now, that says not near as long as it was then, so I only got about 14, 15 years left. But I'm hanging on to that. I'm claiming the promise. So why'd you do that? Well, because I read where Robert Dick Wilson, after he got converted, he prayed and he asked the Lord to give him 15 years to learn the languages and all the ins and outs of Greek and Hebrew. Then he wanted 15 years to write the thesis and put it all together and do all the research. And then he wanted 15 years to write it and publish it. So he asked the Lord to give him 45 years. And the Lord gave him the 45 years. And Robert Dick Wilson produced one of the greatest books that's ever been written on the Greek and Hebrew text for the King James Bible. Amen. I thought, well, if it's good enough for Robert Dick Wilson, bless God, I want it too. But I'm not near as greedy as he was. He wanted 45 years. I only asked for 20. Of course, I wasn't going to do the work he was going to do either. Anyway, our life just seems to vaporize right before our eyes. Without being aware of it, without feeling the pain. You ever hear the story about the fellow that sold his soul to the devil? And he got wealth and worldly fame and wine, women, and song, and all that the flesh could desire. But when he died, the devil gets his soul. But he asked the devil to send him a little indicator or a reminder so that he would know that the day of his death was approaching. The devil said, okay. So they made the deal, signed the contract, and boy, this fella got rich. He had houses and lands and yachts. He had women. He had servants. He had everything the flesh could possibly desire. And the years rolled on and the years rolled on. And he got older and older. And finally up in his 80s, he had some disease that was terminal. And all of a sudden, he only had a couple of weeks left to live. And he was angry at the devil. And he said, he got a hold of the devil and he said, listen, we made a deal. And the devil said, I've kept my part. He said, yeah, but said you were supposed to send me a little indicator. You were supposed to give me a warning that my death was approaching so that I could make arrangements and take care of everything. And the devil said, I did. He said, no, you did not. He said, yes, I did. He said, no, you didn't. He said, wait a minute. He said, hold out your hand. And the old man held out his hand, shaking and wrinkled and thin skin. And he said, you see there? There you are. And the man said, what are you talking about? He said, I sent you reminders every day. See that skin? That's the skin of an old man. You should see death approaching. You see the wrinkles? Those are the wrinkles of age. You should see death approaching. He said, I sent you reminders of your mortality every single day of your life. He said, I kept my part. You know what happened? The guy spent his life, wasted it, passed it away one day at a time without giving account. And just like that, it was behind him. And if you're not careful, one day at a time, you spend your life and you don't do something today and you don't do something tomorrow and you don't get this accomplished and you don't get that accomplished, and pretty soon you'll look back and there's no time left to do it. And your life will be behind you and you're going to say, what was my life? What did I do? What did I accomplish? What was its purpose? Was there a goal? And way too many of us will have to say, wasted it. It's gone. Bitter tears. You know, I've looked at life and people and all those kind of things. I've tried to determine, when we say, what was your life? I mean, I know we know it's a vapor. It's quick. It's fast. It comes and it goes in the blink of an eye. But if I said, what is my life? How do I determine whether or not my life has been a success or a failure? Now, in the final analysis, that's what really counts. Was my life a success or was my life a failure? Well, now, when I ask myself that question, I've got to determine what grounds I have to look at, what parameters I need to make that distinction. How do I know? How do I determine what qualifies as successful? What means I'm a failure? What must I have done or what must I have accomplished in my 70 to have been labeled a success? And if I didn't get this, this, and this done, does that make me a failure? I need some criteria, I need some guidelines on which to judge my life so that I'll know whether or not it's been good or bad, whether it's been successful or unsuccessful. Well, I found that there are two types of people in the world. Now, I know there are all kinds of races, and there are two genders. There are not three, by the way. And fags ain't a gender. Amen. Oh, man, I was preaching at the prison the other night. And I was preaching on believing a lie. And, of course, in that thing, I had to say something about the lie everybody believes about them homosexuals, you know, and that being a viable alternate lifestyle. Well, in my typical meek fashion, I just mentioned in passing that them queers were an abomination. Amen. I don't have any queers in that room. They didn't appreciate it much. Of course, they liked it even less when I nailed Obama. There was three white guys and about 35 black guys in there. And when I nailed Obama for being an abomination, you know, trying to spend us out of debt, it got so quiet in there I could hear my wife breathing. She's going, "You was locked in, baby." Bless her, Lord. Now, there are two types of people. Well, why not two types of people? There's two situations. You're either successful in life or you're unsuccessful in life, right? Okay? So we're going to put everybody in the world, black, white, yellow, green, purple, striped, male, female, American, Chinese, Mexican. Of course, in a couple more years, you won't have to mention all that because they're all going to be the same.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You go to the mall now, you think it's the same pretty much. Anyway, two kinds of people. Givers and takers. Everybody I know, without exception, this is an axiomatic statement, without exception, without fear of contradiction, everybody I've ever known falls into one of two groups. They're either givers or takers. Every church, every organization, every business, it doesn't make any difference. There's always that group of people who are giving and helping and going and doing and lending a hand and helping folks out. And there's that group that is always taking. And if you'll notice, the group that's always taking, you never find them giving. They always need a helping hand. They always wanting something. They're always receiving from somebody else. There are givers and there are takers. And you're in one group or the other. Not only do we have givers and takers, we have contributors and non-contributors. We have people who give something to the world and society and God, and we have folks who don't. You look around, and it's always the same little handful that go to the nursing homes, that visit the jails, that work in the food pantries, that lend a hand, that give their money, that give their time. There's one little group that does that, and the rest do nothing. These contribute, and these do not. We got people that are givers. We got people that are takers. We have people that are contributors. We have people who are non-contributors. We have folks that are doers and folks that are watchers. Now, the watchers are always wanting to tell the doers what to do. Now, we've been watching y'all, and here's what y'all need to do. Well, why don't you get off your blessed assurance, hotshot, and do it yourself? Somebody say, amen, preacher. Some folks are doers. They see something needs to be done. They need to see somebody that needs help. They see a project that needs to be taken care of. They see a situation that needs to be remedied. And they jump in and they do it. While the others just sit by and watch. Now the watchers can always be hypercritical. And they can complain when you don't do it up to their standards. Well, I wish they'd done so and so. Well, we probably could have done so. Well, I don't know why they didn't spend the money and do this. Well, if you'd give, if you'd contribute, if you'd participate, if you were a doer, we'd get a lot more done. But in the world, you'll find out that there are givers and takers, contributors and non-contributors, doers and watchers. Then there are the fulfilled and the unfulfilled. You know, my doctorate is in psychology. You wouldn't know that, would you? I've worked for years to get over it. So Some people are fulfilled in their lives, and some are not. And it's easy to tell. You ever get around some people and they just have the best outlook and the best attitude, and a lot of times they don't have anything. It's not dependent on whether you have a big house or money or clothes or any of that stuff. It's on what you've done with your life. If you've done with your life, if you have contributed, if you've been a doer, if you've been a helper, you look back at what you've done and you feel self-satisfaction. You feel self-fulfillment. And you feel like, my life is fulfilled. I've done good. I've accomplished something. I helped somebody. My life was about more than just me and my immediate family. Those people are fulfilled. You take these folks that never did anything. I mean, they don't help nobody. They don't ever, you know, they're too busy to go to the prison ministry. They're too busy to visit a nursing home. Well, you know, I'm a wife and a mother or I'm a grandmother and I've got my family. Well, you know, all them other people that get something else done have got all them same duties and responsibilities. You know what it is, them people that can't do it, they're just too selfish. They won't give up any of their time. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Now, excuse me. The people who are unfulfilled, the ones who have not been contributors, the ones who haven't done anything or accomplished anything for good, they're never fulfilled. They're always whining. They're always finding fault. They're always wishing that. They're always hoping for. So why is that? Because they never did anything. How can you feel good at yourself when you watched other people do and give and go and sacrifice for all these years and you never did anything? How do you feel good about yourself? How do you feel fulfilled? How do you feel like you've accomplished your goal? How do you feel like you've accomplished anything? They don't. And they're miserable. And so they whine and cry and complain and carry on. I'm not getting a lot of help preaching this morning. That's one thing about them blacks out there, boy, may they help you. Amen. Some people are fulfilled. The other group is unfulfilled. Some people feel that their life was worthwhile. Some folks feel that their life was worthless. There's something depressing about talking to people who haven't had a goal in life. There was never anything they wanted to accomplish. There was never anything they wanted to get done. They just lived 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And it was just always about themselves, and it was always getting by from day to day. I read a thing about Dr. Ruckman. A while back, he was talking about his dad. Oh, it was in the Strictly Personal column. That's where it was at, in the Bible Believers Bulletin. And when I read that thing, it just struck me. He said, in the last few years, he talked about how many students they had graduated, how many were in full-time ministry, how many were missionaries, how many had made full-time ministries, and all this, that, and the other, and all the people he had led to Christ. I mean, he chronicled a bunch of stuff. And then he said he had read his daddy's diary. And for about 30 years, you know what that diary had in it? Played gin rummy from 6 to 10. Won 3 hands. Went to the store. It was just nothing but mundane, unimportant drivel. He never went. He never took any trips. He never volunteered any of his time. He never helped anybody. He never gave any of his money. He kept a diary day by day for 30 years, and not once did he ever do anything for anybody. What a wasted life. So how does a life like that happen? One day at a time. There are two groups of people in the world. There are the helpers and the helped. You either help or you get helped. I want to be a helper. Amen. When I get down to the end, I say, now what was my life? And I look back and I reflect. I don't want to have a diary that said, play gin rummy from 6 to 10. Play gin rummy from 6 to 10. Had to see the doctor today. Play gin rummy from 6 to 10. I don't want that. I want to look, be able to look back and say, I did something. I helped somebody. I accomplished something. I did something good for God. I brought some glory to His name. I saw a few folks get saved. I saw a few lives get changed. Yeah. So how do you do that? Well, you have to give of yourself. You have to give of your time. So how do you know if your life has been successful or not? Well, if you had to reduce it to one thought, one statement, one phrase, you could do it something like this. Did you give more than you took? I can't believe I got that from David Chadwick. But still, it's a good thought. In the final analysis, when your life is over, when your days are done, when it comes time for you to lay down and assume room temperature, and they come by and put you to bed with a shovel, can you look back at your life and say, my life was successful. I gave more than I took. My life made a difference. There was a cause. There was a reason. It was profitable to somebody. I did some good for God. I don't want to put in my 65 years, 80 years, whatever God gives me, and get down to the end and have to spend all my time saying, oh, I would to God I had done this, and I wish I had accomplished that, and I wish I had got involved in this, and I wish I had given into that, and I wish I had labored about that. And all of it, I didn't do any of it. I don't want to end up there. I want to help the helpless. I want to care for the needy. I want to give to those without. I want to do for those that can't do for themselves. I want to give of myself and my substance. For God has so richly blessed most of us. You know what? We have Americans making $45,000, $50,000 a year, and we have them categorized as poor. Poor. Why don't you go to Obama's family and check out the poor? They're poor. But you know, you could be poor in substance. You could be poor in this world's goods and still be rich beyond compare. If you've got God and the love of Christ and His Spirit dwells within, and the joy of your salvation fills your soul, and the joy of the Lord is your strength, how rich can one person be? Let me end with this admonition. Your life will soon be over. It's as a vapor that appeareth for a little season and vanisheth away. Your chance to be helpful and to do good, to bring honor to Christ, to glorify God, your chance for your life to count is quickly slipping away. So let me say this. Hurry. Be quick. Don't dilly-daddle. Hustle. Put a wiggle in it. Don't drag your feet. Move it, son. Move it. Get something done. Get up off your lazy butt and do something. And don't say, you know, people say, here's how we do it. I'm going to get involved. I've decided that I need to do something, and I've got a talent or a skill or ability, I can render labor, and I'm going to get involved. I don't want my life to be a waste. And the first of next week, I'm going to get started. The first of next week. The first of next week. And then something comes up the first of next week. And so you reschedule it. And then something happens. And you reschedule it. And something happens. And then you forget to reschedule it. And you know something? You don't ever get it done. And one of these days you're going to be 75, 80, 85 years old. And you're going to look back at a void. A blank sheet where you accomplished nothing. You say, oh, well, I went to work every day. I paid my taxes. I was a good citizen. I went to church every day. I raised my children. I was a good mother. I was a good dad. Well, glory to God. You're supposed to do all that stuff, sweetie. You don't get no pat on the back. You don't get any accolades for doing what you're supposed to do. Everybody's got family. Everybody's got a job. You're supposed to take care of your own. You're supposed to love your children and your grandchildren. You're supposed to spend some time with them. But there's time and there's money for other people and other things. There is the cause of Christ, and we need your help, and we need your labor, and we need your money, and we need your time. Amen. God wants it. Amen. One of these days when life is over and you look back and say, you know, I did that. And I was involved in that. Boy, I helped them. I put my money in that. I put my back in that. I put my time in that. You know something? Looking back on it, I'm glad I did. It was kind of a pain in the neck when we did it. Kind of stressed us out. Took our extra money. Took my extra time. But boy, I tell you what, looking back and seeing how much good it did and how much glory it brought to God, I'm glad I did it. Now, your life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. I'm here to tell you, you're here today, you're alive today, you may have an opportunity today or tomorrow, you can get involved, you can get committed, you can find something to do, you can find some place to give, you can find some place to serve, but if you're not careful, in just a little while, your time will be gone, the door will be closed, and you'll end up with a life wasted. Get married, have children, have grandchildren, retire, grow old, and die. Oh, my soul. I got that from my wife. Where did it go? There used to be a country song. Now, I don't listen to country music. I'm a Christian. I listen to Christian music. Amen. I don't listen to rock and roll. I don't listen to country. I don't even listen to contemporary Christian. It just ain't fundamental enough for me. I like good Southern gospel. You know, a honky-tonk piano and a bass guitar, buddy. What was I talking about? There was a country song, and I can't remember. I think it was Freddie Fender or one of them guys. I'm old. I've been saved 36 years. Everything I can remember from the past is old, baby. I'm dated. But whoever it was that sang it, it was called Wasted Days and Wasted Nights. Life just passed by and nothing worthwhile got done. That is such a tragedy. Let's resolve to not let that happen. Now, I don't know what all of y'all do, but I could guess what most of you do. You work your job. You take care of your family. You try to have a little recreation. Most of you lead pretty decent lives. I don't think we got a bunch of whoremongering and adultery and drinking and stuff in our church. I don't think. And if we find out you do, you won't be here long. I think we got pretty good folks, but most pretty good folks work their job, take care of their house, take care of their family, go to church once or twice a week, and that's it. And we have a whole planet around here filled with people that are lost and on their way to hell. And I understand that good works don't save people.
But I tell you what good works do. Good works open the door so you can be a witness. Amen? I think we've got a church full of folks that need to get busy working in prisons and nursing homes and old folks' homes and contributing to different ministries. There's a million things we could be doing. And when our days are over and the curtain comes down, we can look at that diary of our life and say, I didn't get a lot done, but I did that. Yeah, well, I had a hand in that. Yeah, I led them to Christ. Yeah, I gave money there. I gave time here. Well, you know, I didn't get a lot done, but look at it. I got more done than I thought. Thank God I got something done. I don't want to face Christ one of these days with nothing. See, when do you have to start that? You have to start today. Because if you don't, you will one day it away until it never gets done. So why? Because your life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little season and vanisheth away. Let's pray. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the opportunities that You send us.